want to start a brand new series today, and in praying about this, and like we always do, I was actually doing something at my house, and I was praying in other tongues, praying in the Spirit. You know, the Bible talks about that, amen? And most of the leadings that I get personally will come most often, not 100% of the time, but most often, leadings, direction will come to me after a little period of time of praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. And why is that? Because your spirit is active. Your spirit is active. And you're connecting with spirit channel, okay, with heaven. And so being that you're on that channel, then the Lord is able to download some things in English where your mind understands it. Does that make sense? Paul said, I'll pray with the Spirit, and then I'll pray with the understanding. I'll sing with the Spirit. I'll sing with the understanding. And so there's that interpretation of what the Holy Ghost just said. Glory to God. Well, I was praying in the Spirit, and I heard these words, and this is my title, Shalom in the Home. You say, well, what in the world does that mean, Shalom? Well, it's the Hebrew word for peace, okay? Now, I grew up in the 60s, and the peace sign was a big deal back then, T-shirts and all that kind of stuff, you know? But this peace that I'm talking about is way beyond what I'm talking about there. That just meant absence of war. Okay? No war. Sometimes you have to have war to have peace. Are you with me? The Bible says there's a time for war in Ecclesiastes. So you tell that to those hippies in the 60s. There's a time for war. Okay? Anyway. But the word for peace in the Old Testament is the word shalom, and that's what we're going to talk about, how you can have shalom in your home. Now listen, God wants you and me and all of us here to experience heaven on earth in your home. The problem with a lot of the church world is they've put everything off to the sweet by and by, the pie in the sky, you know, mentality, like when I die, I go to heaven. Then you know we're going to have victory. Then we're going to have this. We're going to have that. Now, that's true. That's true. However, God didn't say you can't have it on the earth. Psalm 23 says he prepares a table before us in the what? The presence of our enemies. That couldn't be talking about heaven because there's no enemies in heaven. So in other words, God will provide a table for you now on this earth. And on that table is everything that you could possibly want, need, or desire. I mean everything. Healing, deliverance, provision, victory, healing in your relationships, whatever the case may be. There is shalom for you. Now, let me give you right out of the Hebrew concordance what this word shalom means. And just grab a hold of your seat. You might have to, because this is really, really powerful. It says, the noun shalom is often translated as peace, which comes from the verb. The verb shalom means this, to restore in a sense of replacing or providing what is needed in order to make someone or something whole and complete. The noun shalom is one or has been provided what is needed to be whole and complete. Notice this, nothing missing, nothing broken. Whew. Nothing, I love that, nothing missing. Nothing. What's the Greek word or the Hebrew word for shalom? Nothing missing, nothing broken. And he goes on to say completeness, prosperity. This is out of the Hebrew here. Now, prosperity is a biblical word, right? But see, prosperity in our mind just means dollar signs. That's not incorrect, it's just incomplete. Okay? Now, here you see a piece of the pie, and if you divide that pie up, here you have a part of that package of pieces, healing, part of it is victory, part of it is provision, and so forth and so on. All that means shalom. And so he goes on to say, nothing missing, nothing broken, completeness, prosperity, and welfare that can be used in Israel even to this day. They'll use the word shalom, like you and I would say, hey, how's it going? Hello, okay? But it's what it actually means is this. When you say shalom, it comes from the other Hebrew word, the root word shalem, means wholeness. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Let's say that. Nothing missing, nothing broken. So in other words, if there's something missing in your life or something broken, the Lord wants to provide that for you. Amen? I know of people that had missing parts in their physical body, organs that were missing when they were born. And God restored those organs supernaturally. Praise God. You know, the Bible says about Jesus and His ministry that He healed the maimed. He didn't just heal the sick, He healed the maimed. Well, what's maimed mean? It means you're missing something, right? You're missing an arm, you're missing a leg, you know? Well, you can't heal something that's not there. So what did Jesus do? He would restore people and he would heal them. I have a friend of mine, a minister friend of mine, Jerry Basinger, who has been to our church. Now, I saw him for the first time ever on Sid Roth's show about 12 years ago. I was watching the program and he was on there, never heard of his name before. Well, I ended up contacting him. He ended up coming to our church, our first church that we had, and he was healed of terminal cancer. He had the worst kind of cancer that medical science knows about. I mean, they only gave him weeks to live, literally weeks to live. And he got a hold of some ministerial material from Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, okay? Some books and tapes on healing, divine healing. And he said, you know what? I'm just going to go down to that place in Tulsa. He was from Missouri, still is. I'm going to go down to Missouri, and I'm going to get in that meeting. And he said, I'm going to get healed in that meeting. That's what he said. I'm going to go get healed in that meeting. Now, the doctors gave him literally weeks to live. He was down to nothing but a skeleton with skin hanging on it, eaten with cancer his whole body. Well, guess what happened? He got under the anointing. He got under the Word. Hands were laid upon him. He said it was like a bolt of electricity. When Brother Hagin laid hands on him, he just fell backwards, you know. He still looked the same, still felt the same. But he left from that place. He said, Lord, I thank you that I'm healed. Now, you know, well-meaning relatives would look at him and say, oh, Jerry, are you doing okay? He said, yes, I'm healed. And they looked at him like a cow at a new gate or a dog at a new pan, as they say. They said, this guy's not only lost his body, now he's lost his mind. But they only thought that for so long because afterwards he started getting his weight back and his health came back and now he's completely healed. Amen? Well, God called him into a healing ministry and he shared this situation that happened, true story that happened. And he shared this on Sid Roth, but else he shared it with me personally as well in our congregation that he went to Africa to minister in the bush to people there. And he said there was a little tribe back in the bush, as you would see like on National Geographic or something like that. And these people just came out of the woodwork. They're all chicken farmers and things like that. And they don't have anything. You know what I mean? And he said there was a woman that came up in the line, the prayer line, as he ministered. And he looked at her and he said, one of those double takes, he looked and said, she wasn't blind. She had no eyeballs. There was holes. There was no eyes. Well, your mind can get overwhelmed by that. But see, there's no pressure. Kenneth Hagin used to say, I couldn't heal a fly's eyeball. But see, that takes the pressure off you and me because we're not the healers. Jesus is the healer. And so he said this. He said the Lord led him to lay hands just so gently, just lay hands on this woman right here. And he just began to, he put his fingers, his thumbs right where her eyes are, and it's just like this, okay? And he said, oh, Father, we just worship you right now. We thank you that you're healing this woman right now. He said he felt nothing. No, you know, no goosebumps, no surge of power, nothing like that. And all of a sudden, she kind of moved a little bit, and he took his hands off her. And when she opened up her eyes, she had the most beautiful brown eyes, and she could see for the first time. Well, what is that? That's not a healing. That's a creative miracle, working of miracles. He said it so shocked him, but he said he didn't feel any different. And there wasn't any special feeling there, no special anointing that he knew of. Just acted upon the Word of God. Amen? And so she was missing two eyeballs. But shalom restored. See, shalom is not a thing, it's a person. It's Jesus. That shalom restored this woman's eyes that she never had before. Now, can you imagine that? What a joy that must have been to her, seeing things light for the first time. Isn't that something? So the word shalom means to bring completeness and make whole and nothing missing, nothing broken. Prosperity to bring to pass the things that you want and you need in your life. Amen. Now, you know, you're here, you're in this place today. You're sitting here hearing the word of God. That's a good place to start right there. Because faith, the scripture says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith is coming right now. As you're hearing the word of God, faith is being released on the inside of you. Faith in God's word. God is not a man that he should lie. What God said is the truth, no matter what. Let God be true, the Bible says, lo, every man be a liar, every circumstance be a liar. You know, Jonah in the belly of the whale, and that was not a figure of imagination, that actually happened. Okay, figure that one out. And he called it lying vanities. Now, can you imagine, you're inside of a whale's belly. You know it's completely dark. They got, I'm not trying to be gross, but there's stomach acid in there. What do you think breaks down their food when they eat it? Stomach acid. There's probably, he's probably swimming in algae and seaweed and everything else. And he's in the middle of the belly of the whale. And Jesus even referred to it. He says, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Now, what's the deal? They didn't stay there. Amen. Jonah repented in the belly of the whale. It's never too late for you and I to repent. We don't have to get swallowed by the circumstances of life before we say, oh, God, forgive me. I'll do what you told me to do. Amen. But he repented because he didn't want to go preach to Nineveh. He couldn't stand those people. But God said, you go to Nineveh. He tried another plan. It didn't work. So they threw him overboard, you know, and there was a great calm because all this stuff started happening, you know. Well, God prepared a great fish, the Bible says, and swallowed up Jonah. And he's in the belly of the whale, and he says, oh, God, forgive me. I'll do what you told me to do. And so God told the whale to spit up Jonah on the shore. So here comes this whale. Can you imagine someone on the seashore seeing something like that happen? They're thinking, oh, Lord. Now, these people in Nineveh used to worship fish. So that would grab your attention right there. See, back in those days, they worshiped everything. And there are countries today in different places, they worship rocks and cattle and, you know, what they should be eating. They're starving. They should be eating it. Amen? Old beefsteak walking around, you should be eating it. Not worshiping it. Praise God. Anyway, let's go to John 14, if you would. John 14. So there's a broad definition of shalom, but then the more specific means nothing missing, nothing broken. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Say it again. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Okay? Now, when you come in contact with Jehovah, then he will manifest himself. He reveals himself in the old covenant by different names. We sang that song this morning. You know what I mean? Jehovah, Jireh, Uri actually, our provider. He said that to Abraham. Jehovah Sidkenu means our righteousness. Jehovah, our righteousness. Amen. There's Jehovah Nisi and all these different Hebrew names for attributes of what God is. Jehovah Rapha, our what? Healer. God says, I'm Jehovah Rapha, your healer. Okay? Now, in John 14, Jesus, let's pick up in verse 25. It says this, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you how many things? Holy Spirit's an instructor. He'll teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now notice the job of the Holy Spirit. He's to teach you all things and he's to bring all things to your remembrance. So now it's present. He'll teach you things presently, but then he's also responsible for the things that you have learned through the Word of God to bring to your remembrance. I'm sure that all of you here that are believers for any length of time, you've had the Holy Spirit quicken a scripture to you that you read previously or heard previously. How many of you ever had that happen to you? Okay, you're talking to someone and all of a sudden a scripture comes up. Well, how did that happen? Well, it wasn't just your lightning fast memory. The Holy Spirit was there to bring that scripture up that's already on the inside of you and bring it to your remembrance. Did you know that your spirit man never forgets? Amen? Now, here we go again. But we ought never say, no matter how old we are, to say, I'm having a senior moment. I hear it all the time. People say, even believers say things like that. Well, you know how it is when you get this age, you know, then you start losing your memory, you know. I met one time with this is probably 10 years ago. I'm 53, so I was about 43 years old. I was in a Panera Bread getting something, you know, for brunch, breakfast or lunch or something like that. And I ran into an old schoolmate that I graduated from high school with, actually a kid that I had led to the Lord when I was in high school. And I had seen him in years. It's been years. So we got to chit-chat and catching up to where we were, up to date, you know, and what he's doing with his life, what I'm doing with my life, you know. And all of a sudden he goes, well, you know how it is, Brother Keith. He goes, you get our age, you can't do certain things anymore. I'm thinking, dude, you're 43 years old. And I said, and within myself, I don't buy that lie. You know, you turn 50, this goes. You turn 60, that goes. Your earballs, your eyeballs, everything goes. You know what I'm saying? No, no. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And the Bible says, Psalm 103 says, God satisfies our mouth with what? Good things, so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. You can age, but not even show it. Amen? Hallelujah. I ran into somebody not too long ago, yeah, and they asked me my age. I said, I'm 53. They said, what? And I didn't know what end they were talking about either. Did I look 60 or did I look? He goes, dear God, I thought you were in your 40s, you know, early 40s. I go, well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's the Lord. That's the Lord. He renews our youth with good things. And even though you age, you don't have to think old. You can still learn and grow and learn things about, like, the internet. You can learn those things. I remember my parents used to think that was the biggest enemy. Don't you dare give me one of those things, a cell phone. Thought it was going to blow up in their hands or something, you know. I'm not kidding you. I don't want one of those computers. I don't want one of those things. Hallelujah. I said, well, you're missing out on a big blessing. It's not that hard. You can learn this. Amen. So we should always being able to learn and grow and develop. Amen. And not just become stagnant in our thinking and put a ceiling. Amen. Are you with me? We can still think young. We need to in order to reach people. Amen? Glory be to God. All right. Notice it says right here that the Holy Spirit will teach all things, bring all things to your remembrance. Now check out verse 27. Yeah, verse 27. Jesus said this. Say peace. Peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace. Say my peace. What kind of peace is that? The Jesus kind of peace. I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And then he goes on to say, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Glory to God. Now, notice in verse 27 that Jesus said this when he was talking to his disciples, but he's also talking to you and I. He's preparing them for his departure to go to heaven so that he might send the Comforter. And he says right here, he says, my peace I give unto you, shalom. And he says, the world can't give this kind of peace because they don't have it to give. They have a temporary type of peace. It's so shallow. And that simply means this, when everything's okay in your life, then you have peace, okay? But God says he gives us peace that passes our understanding. That means when all hell seems to be breaking loose on your life in certain areas, you can still have peace. Hey, it's going to work out. I know the end result. I have God's word. God said it's going to work out. Amen? And I've passed up some marvelous opportunities through the years. Now, I can't say that I always passed the test, but there were a few times I learned, I said, you know what? After the 15th time, I'm going to learn this. Hello? Amen? Why should I take a test over and over and over again when I can learn it the first time? Amen? But I passed up some marvelous opportunities to walk out of peace. Why? Because you get a word, you get bad news, something happens. Get a phone call. Sister Bucketmouth says something to you. It's bad news all the time. It's always bad news. Or Brother Bucketmouth, whatever. You know, not being racist. You understand what I mean? But he says, peace I leave with you. Now, Jesus didn't take it back. He left it with us. But it's interesting because right here he says, Jesus said, let not your heart, notice this, let not your heart be troubled. In other words, allow not your heart. I think the Amplified, Josh, can you bring that up in the Amplified, that verse, that 27th? It's coming. I can sense it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now notice this. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now notice this right here. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Now I like that. And do not permit yourselves to be fearful or intimidated and cowardly or unsettled. That just says it all right there, doesn't it? How many times have I allowed, we've allowed ourselves to become agitated and disturbed? Not asking for a hand show, but you know. What? How do you become agitated and how do you become disturbed? By opening up your heart, your mind, to wrong information. Okay? Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Jesus himself said that. Take heed what you hear. Because what you hear will affect the condition of your heart. Amen. Now you're sitting there in church right now and all of a sudden you get a thought. How are you going to pay that bill? You know, you're past due. That electric bill is past due. How are you going to pay that? Well, that's certainly not a peaceful thought. Okay? And just by dwelling on that thought that you don't have the money to pay that bill is not going to pay the bill. So to accept that thought and to dwell on it is going to cause you to be what? Agitated and disturbed. And kind of ticked off, half ticked off at people because they look happier than you. You know, there's some people that actually persecute other Christians. Christians that persecute other Christians because they're happier than they are. When they could have the same peace and same happiness. Jesus didn't pay a price more for that man or that woman more than you. It's just that other people have learned to tap into it. But we can all jump in the boat. We can all receive from God. Amen? So, I've passed up some opportunities, marvelous opportunities, to be irritated and agitated, and I just pass them up. Wasn't all that long ago. I had something happen, and I thought, praise the Lord. My first thought, well, it's going to be one of those days. Now, that thought didn't come from me. It didn't come from God. But I had this thought, well, it's going to be one of those days. It's early in the week. And immediately I recognized that and I opened my mouth. I said, no, this day is blessed and it's going to turn out better than it started. And guess what? That's exactly what happened. Thank you, Lord. So you can actually pass up opportunities to become discouraged. Because discouragement comes from news. And while I'm on that subject, go with me to Psalms 112 real quick. Psalm 112. Well, Brother Keith, that sounds like work. You're right. It is work. But what's the option? Worry? Fear? You're using precious energy up by worrying and using a lot of energy up. You're losing sleep. You're rolling around in your bed at night. You can't sleep because you're waking up. You're thinking about that problem. My goodness, you're using energy anyhow, except it's for your detriment. But when you meditate on the Word of God and you think on the Word of God, I'm telling you what, God will give you peace, but then He'll give you the victory to go through that. I mean, come out on the other side. Blessed be the Lord. All right. So remember this statement. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Okay? Now, who's responsible for that? Anyone want to take a guess? Is it God's responsibility to not be troubled, neither let it be afraid? Whose responsibility is it? Is it the pastor's? No. No. Hey, I've tried to make people happy before, and it doesn't work. I learned a long time ago that it's not my job to make other people happy. Because I found that I couldn't. Amen? If I wanted to drain myself of all the energy that I have in that little energizer battery, so to speak, that's the way to do it. Try to make everybody happy. No, my job is to please God and to give you the Word of God, to give you the Word of God that will help you sustain your life situations. Amen? Do you ever hear this statement before? It's not a biblical statement or anything like that, but it's like a proverb, Chinese proverb. It says, if I give you a fish, you can eat for a day. But if I teach you how to fish, you can eat for life. Isn't that something? If I give you a fish, you can eat for a day. But if I teach you how to fish, you can eat for life. And our job as ministers of the gospel is to teach you how to fish. In other words, how to get what you need. How to get what you need. Hallelujah. So it's a whole lot better than just calling up the church. But pastor, can you pray for me? I need this. Now, I'm not against prayer. That's okay. That's good and that's fine. But my job is to ultimately teach you how that you can get the victory for yourself instead of just hanging on to people. There's a place for that. There's a time for that. But as we grow in the Lord, the less dependent we should become upon people. Are you with me? See, true maturity is accepting responsibility for your situation and walking in the Word and taking the Word at face value. Now, when you're a baby Christian, I mean, God just accommodates you, rightfully so. Hallelujah. But as time progresses and time moves on, the Lord wants all of us to mature to the fact where, you know, I don't have to call for the elders of the church to get my healing. I can if I want, but I can get it myself just like that. Thank you, Jesus. All right, where are we here? Psalm 112. Now, with this, before we read this, remember the statement, do not let your heart be troubled. Don't be agitated. Don't be disturbed. Now, Psalm 112 will teach us how to do that. All right? Verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is a man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. Okay? Verse 2 says, His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Now, this is talking about you and I. Verse 2, His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. How many of you have kids and grandkids? It says, the generation of the upright shall be what? Blessed. Blessed means empowered to prosper in every area of your life. Your body, your finances, your relationships. Empowered to prosper. Shalom in your home. And he says in verse 2 again, he says, His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Notice verse 3. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. His righteousness endureth forever. Well, there ought to be at least one amen for that one. Amen. Verse 3 is talking about you and me. Now, don't pull your pocketbook out and say, could have fooled me. Or your wallet or checkbook, whatever, you could have fooled me. Now, the Bible says in verse 3 right there, wealth and riches shall be in his house. Now, I want you to say this with me in the first person. Say, wealth and riches,
wealth and riches
are in my house.
Are in my house.
Because the Word says it.
Amen.
Amen. Now, your mind will tell you when you say that, dude, you're lying. Because that's not true. No, you're not lying. You're calling those things that be not as though they were. In other words, you're saying what the Word says about you when it says, hey, wealth and riches shall be in my house. Now, you might have a stack of bills like that on your desk that are unpaid. But you pull that scripture out and you say, wealth and riches are in my house. Praise God. Now, it's like Charles Capp said one time. He goes, I was so poor one time I couldn't afford to pay attention. Now, we use that sometimes humorously, but he was telling the absolute truth. And I kind of know what that's like. There have been times in my life where I didn't have enough money to pay attention. It was, you know. And then, I mean, that just wars on your mind. You know, your mind is like, oh, God, how's this going to happen? How's this going to happen? But it never got me anywhere until I got my mind on the Word of God. Amen. And the enemy will try to get that Word out of you. He'll try to pull it away from you so you're not speaking what the Word says. But if you speak what the Word says, you will have what the Word says. Ultimately, now it may not happen overnight, but your ship will start to turn around, as the Bible says in the book of James, like the tongue is the rudder on a ship. And if you hold that rudder by speaking the Word only, keep speaking the Word only, coming out of your mouth, let me tell you something, all heaven and the angels of God are going to see to it that that thing's going to turn around. And where most people, most Christians miss it is they let go of their confession. The Bible says, let us fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of a good confession like Jesus Christ. Hold fast. Hold on to a good confession. There have been times that pain was screaming in my body. Or this or that, you know, some kind of a thing in my body. And I just forced myself to say, no, I will say what the Word says about my body. Well, it may not happen like that, but it came. It came. Now, the end result is what you want, right? Yes. Praise God. And I'm telling you, every one of you, how many of you have a mouth here? Raise your hand. Okay. You know, God gave you a mouth more than just to eat food. That's part of it. But you can eat the Word of God. Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And they were like joy and rejoicing to me. So, your mouth is used for eating food, but it's also used for speaking what God's Word. The Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. Praise God. Whew. Ha ha. Glory. Amen. Amen. I said, glory to God. You can have what you say. Amen. Oh, yeah. You can have what you say. Jesus said, you can have what you say. Amen. Let's move on here. Verse 3 says, wealth and riches shall be in his house. His righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there rise light and darkness. He is gracious, full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Now look at verse 6. It says, surely, this is talking about the believer, the uncompromised believer, says, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. Now notice verse 7. His heart, or he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. What is that? Bad news. Now get a load of this verse, folks. This is the most, this verse 7 right here. He shall not be afraid of bad news. Why? His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Has anybody here ever had bad news given to you before? All right, I'm sure we all have, from one degree to the next, right? Some worse than others. Okay? Notice it says here, his heart, verse 7, he shall not be afraid of bad news. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Verse 8, his heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desires upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. Your life shall be exalted with honor. Now, what I wanted to show you there is particularly is the verse 7 and verse 8, that this person, this uncompromised believer, his heart, he's not afraid of bad news. Why? Because his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Gosh, you know, if there's ever been a time that we've had more bad news thrown at us with the media and the things that are going on, it's the day in which we're living right now. Y'all agree to that? There is no time lapse in what God said right here. In other words, this wasn't just for a certain generation at a certain time on this earth. You know what I mean? Like, They're afraid of bad. They're not afraid of bad news. Their heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. This goes on from generation to generation to generation. Amen. Now again, you're going to have you and I are going to have opportunities to pass up bad news. Amen. Now that's not being like an ostrich and putting your head in the ground and saying, "Well, I'm just, you know, it really isn't there." No, there's real problems, but we have real solutions. We have real solutions. Amen. You've heard me talk about this before, and I'll say it again, that, you know, Dr. Cho, who pastors the largest church in the world in Seoul, Korea, he's got like 1.5 million people in his congregation and has for years, you know. And Paul Youngi Cho was originally a poverty-stricken, you know, man from Korea that didn't even have a bicycle, let alone a car. Well, he started getting a hold of the Word of God, you know, and I remember when he came to my Bible school that I graduated from, he came and shared with us one year, and that was such an honor and a treat to be able to get in one session with this man and hear what he had to say. And he talked about how he started believing God for little things like a bicycle, you know, and he said then God took him to other things, and he started to develop and so forth and so on. Well, the Lord called him to pastor a church. He started a church, never thought it would grow beyond 200 people. Here, 1.5 million people, you know, and just preaching the gospel, humble man, you know, small in stature but big in heart, and just a remarkable person. And he said that several years later, after he was pastoring the church, he said one of the gals in his church had come to him and had some questions and needed some counsel, basically, and so he sat down and spoke with her, and she began to tell him what her problem was, and that was this, that she had a terminal disease. Now, I don't know what the disease was, but the doctors gave her literally a couple of months to live. That was it, you know. And then, you know, you start forming your will and, you know, taking care of business, call the funeral home, all this kind of stuff, preparing to die, okay? And so she came to Dr. Cho, and she sat down. She said the problem to him. And he said this, after he let her talk, he says, whatever her name was, this is exactly what happened. He said, "Can you see yourself heal?" She said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Can you see yourself healed?" She goes, "Not now." She goes, "I have the doctor's report." And then he said this, "Will you do what I tell you?" And she says, "Yes, Pastor Cho." Now, this might seem almost insignificant, but he gave her a couple of healing scriptures, all right? And he says, "I want you to go home, you know," and he says, "I want you to write out about 10,000 times each one of these healing scriptures, about 10,000 times. Now, about that time, most people would say, "You know, I believe the Lord's leading me to go to another church because they don't want to work." You know what I mean? They'd rather read the newspaper. And what good's that going to get you? You know what I'm saying? But she was just dumb enough to obey the man of God. She goes, "Yes, Dr. Cho, I'll do that." She goes home, and about a week or two later, now he asked her this question, "Do you see yourself healed?" Well, she didn't know what that meant, but she did know that she got the vision, like, "I need to write down these scriptures." Now, he gave her like 1 Peter 2:24, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, and basic healing scriptures, Matthew 8, 17. She went home and did her due diligence, and she began to write it down. Well, is it the act of repeating that creates freedom? No, it's the revelation. She started writing down those things. Well, after so many times, the Holy Ghost starts talking to her. Now, at first, it might just seem like a homework assignment, you know, and God knows we don't want more of those. But it might have seemed like a homework assignment, but it was just what was going on. She's writing down eternal words about healing power. And as she's writing this down in her own words, she said, "I began to see a picture of Jesus himself took my infirmities, bore my sicknesses, and with his stripes, I'm healed." Well, like I said, a couple of weeks later, maybe 3 weeks later, she scheduled another meeting with him. And he said, "I didn't even have to ask her." She walked in, her face was like a neon sign lit up in the dark. And he says, "Tell me, sister, what's going on?" And all she did was say the scripture back to him. She says, by his stripes I'm healed. Himself took my infirmities, bore my sicknesses, and with his stripes I'm healed, you know. And he says, sister, you got it. You got it. Now, in the natural, nothing changed yet. But a short time after that, she went back to Dr. Seuss. And doctor said, you don't have any sickness anymore. You don't have any cancer anymore. You don't have to have any more treatments anymore. Okay? And he wrote her a clean bill of health. Now, what happened? What happened in this situation here is she began, you know, it's like Brother Copeland used to say this, we're not the sick trying to get healed. We're the healed that the devil's trying to make sick. Because when Jesus paid your price on that cross and went to the whipping post, he paid for your sins, he paid for your healing, and legally that belongs to you. It belongs to you. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to fight for it or strive for it or work for it or pay for it. Jesus paid for it already for you. That's grace. He paid for it for you so that you could walk free. Well, just by writing down those scriptures over and over and over again, her eyes began enlightening, and then she said, I see it. I see it. When she saw it in her heart, then her body changed. Did you get that? When she saw it in her heart, her body changed. Amen? And I see Sister Marty back here. You know, I'm not trying to embarrass, but Marty's such a blessing, isn't she?
Amen.
I mean, man, if you want to bring joy into the room, bring her into the room, man. I'm telling you. That's right, man. Glory to God. And I tell you, we need more of that, don't we? But, you know, when she was given that awful report from the doctors, you know, and I went to see her in the hospital, and I'm not trying to embarrass her or anything, but I was preparing to really minister to her. Well, she ended up ministering to me. You know what I'm saying? Because you get a report like that about your physical health, you know, most people are like, oh, you know. She's laughing and having a good time. She's, oh, pastor, this is just a bump in the road. God's going to take care of this, you know. And guess what? That's exactly what happened to her. And she's sitting here today as a result. Bad news came to her. Okay? This is a little more at home, but bad news came to her. She decided, I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on God's Word. Amen? And as a result, she's here today and full of health. Glory be to God. Amen? Now, that didn't just accidentally happen or randomly happen. She chose to focus on the Word and to focus on ministering to other people while she was going through that. She's one of the most unselfish people I've ever met. I mean, even though she's got these needs in her life and all this kind of stuff, she's thinking about, how can I minister to this nurse or this doctor or this person? Or, I mean, it's so foreign to the way we think. Because we think when that happens, we get inward. We look inward. We get selfish, self-centered. No, she looked outward. Okay? Now, she didn't hire me to say this today. I just felt led of the Lord to say this. So in spite of, that was terrible news. Not just bad. It was terrible news from the natural. So no matter what type of bad news comes to us, we can decide, I'm not moved by that. I'm moved by the Word of the living God. My heart is established, trusting in the Lord. I'm not afraid. And so when bad news comes, I just let it pass by me. Let it pass by me. Because I'm going to still stand on the Word of God, and we're going to see this thing come to pass. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I was going to go to another scripture, but I don't think we're going to do that today. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Know when to start, know when to stop. Amen. We'll get into it next week. Now, God wants there to be shalom in your home. Okay? How do I start, Pastor Keith? How do I start seeing that take place? Okay? Problem is, a lot of times we get so used to what's been going on that we think that's the norm. You know, you come out of a dysfunctional atmosphere, and when something seems normal, then you think that's dysfunctional. No, that's the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to have heaven on earth. You're not supposed to have turmoil every day of your life. Well, yeah, you might hit a bump in a road here and there and that kind of a thing, but listen, you're not supposed to live each day full of fear and worry and anxiety and all this kind of stuff. God wants you to find refuge in Him because He loves you. We're not just talking about the God of this universe. He is, but He's your Father. He is your very own Father. No one has ever had an earthly father as good as our Heavenly Father. As good as any earthly dad can be. They're so pale in comparison to how good the Heavenly Father is. And this is all about the Father's business, by the way. This is all about Him. The church service, everything that we're doing, the baptism today, everything that we're doing here is about the Father's business. It's not about my business or Pastor Lynn. No, it's about the Father's business. It's what He wants to do in this earth. And that's a wonderful place to be, isn't it? And He's got great plans for each and every one of you. It is not too late. There's no expiration date on His blessing to you. That just came from heaven right there. There is no expiration date on His blessing toward you. That means it's there for the taking. It's there for the taking. Thank you, Jesus. Now, when I first got saved, you know, I didn't have a whole lot of fight in me. You know what I mean? I wasn't prepared for some of the things that I would face. You know what I mean? But, you know, you have to become a man sooner or later. Amen? Or man up, I should say. And to deal with this stuff and not give in to the pressure, not give in, not cave in and say, well, this must be God's will then. No, no, no. There's a lot of things that you need to reject that are not God's will. You know as well as I do, there's a lot of people that believe that everything happens for a purpose. Now, we'll just step on a few religious toes right now, but there are people that actually preach this, that, you know, the sovereignty of God. Everything happens for a purpose. You know, I heard one time a Christian musician, a really, you would know who it was if I even mentioned his name. I'm not going to do that because we don't want to be destructive. We want to be constructive. But this guy was having, there was an interview on the radio, and he sang great songs and everything, but he had a bunch of bad stuff happen to him. And the guy that was interviewing him said, how do you deal with all that stuff? He goes, well, I believe with all of my heart that God is sovereign and everything that happens in our lives is for a purpose. Kid gets run over by a truck. God has a purpose. No, He doesn't have a purpose in that. God's not killing people. He's not driving over them with vehicles and sickness and disease. That's the work of the devil. Amen. You never see Jesus slapping cancer on people to teach them a lesson.
That's right. That's right.
Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You never, ever see Jesus tormenting someone to teach them a lesson. You see Him forgiving, healing, and delivering people. That's all He did. Jesus said Himself in John 10:10, He said, the thief, the devil, comes, this is the dividing line in the Bible, just like the middle of this room. On one hand, He says, the thief, the devil, comes to rob, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. That's our Father. Glory to God.
Amen.
So anything that robs or kills or destroys, whether it's your physical health, your mentality, your finances, your health, whatever, that's the work of the enemy. So once you know that, you're already halfway there. But if you think that's God trying to teach you a lesson in that, no, 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 no. Because then you'll never know. See, people that believe in the extreme, mind if I just get on my little soapbox here for a second here, and then we'll close. Well, I'm going to anyway, but if you have this extreme mindset of the sovereignty of God, now is God sovereign? He's sovereign over His Word. He does what His Word says. And people say things, well, God has everything under control. Well, if He does, He's got it in a really big mess. Because right now, someone's being killed. Someone's being robbed. Someone's being raped. some corruption is happening somewhere right now. Is God behind that? 1,000 times no. Okay? But if people believe that God has a purpose in everything, then let me ask you this question. When do you resist the devil? Because the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you, right? Well, if God has a plan and a purpose for everything that comes down the pike, you just accept that and say, well, that's sickness. That's part of God's plan. Maybe I'm supposed to go in the hospital to witness to that person next to me, my bed. Now, I'd rather you go in there healthy and whole and lay hands on them and minister to them. Now, look, don't get me wrong. Now, God can take a bad situation and turn it around. He can do that. But what I'm saying is this. Hear my heart this morning. God doesn't have to put you in a tragic situation in order to teach you something. He's Al Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. He's not Al Capone. Let's take out 3/4 of this family right now. Boom. No. God's not into that. Amen. See, God cares for you. God loves you. And He is actually going to manifest himself today in a way that you've not known him before. He says in, was it Corinthians? He says, I will be a father to the fatherless. There is a friend, the Bible says in Proverbs, that sticketh closer than a brother. You know what happened last week? Think about this. In those 3 services, where there was such a move of God, and the Lord was speaking specifically to people, you know, and honestly, I didn't know that was going to happen. We didn't talk about that. There was no premeditation for that to take place. Oh, I told Len and Kathy, I said, obey the Holy Ghost. Do what he tells you to do. And that's why I did my best to get out of the pulpit as quick as I could to turn it over to them. Amen. And my, the Lord started talking to people. That's like the Father himself coming down and talking to you. You know that? Praise God. Praise God. Some of the kids that were in here, and God was talking to the kids in here. That was like God himself coming down here and speaking to you. Do you know that? The Father showed up. God showed up. And you just watch it come to pass. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and thank him. Praise God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The storm's over. The storm's over. And so all you're seeing right now are remnants of the storm that blew through. But now on the other side of that storm is sunny and clear. No clouds. It's over. It's over. It's over. The storm blew through. It's already through. You still see the remnants of what was left over, but it's passing on through. And there's clear sky for you. So don't worry. Don't be afraid. Look up to me. For my peace is there for you. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's for somebody in this room right now. More than maybe one person. The storm is over. It's over. It's over. I saw it in my spirit. I saw it like I see you. I saw it in my spirit. The clouds moving in. It's out. It's over. So you don't have to be looking. Is there more coming? No, it's over. It's over. It's over. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And you're left standing. And you're left in good condition. Though you may have felt battered from the storm and felt the effects of the storm, you're still here. You're still standing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah. Hear this phrase, a word in my mind, spirit right now. Thyroid issues. The Lord's healing that right now. Something with someone's thyroid. Right now, as I speak, the healing power of God is flowing into you and bringing forth restoration, bringing forth wholeness, shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken in your thyroid right now. Whoever that is, man or woman, you receive that right now. This is for you. Receive that right now in Jesus' name for you. Now, the Lord didn't tell me who that was, but that's okay. It's none of my business. It's His business. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost for a minute. Shambro kolo kisa befriya nemele grista kifriya na mama kasaduka. Kumena kadisa sasa. Menenim, meneni, menenina, memenina, memenina. En mini, en menis, en benis, en brist, en brena proko maraka. Thank you, Father. 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 Glory be to God. Yeah. 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 Praise God. You mind if I just obey the Holy Ghost right now? Brother Dave and Sister Sue, I want you to come and stand at the back of that aisle together facing me. Right there. This is what I saw in my spirit. Now, I've never had it happen like this before. I usually have you come forward. But the Spirit of God is upon both of you. And He's making the crooked places straight. The Spirit of the Lord is working in your family, working in your lives. Yes, working in your finances. And the Lord is bringing restoration to you as I speak. The Lord is bringing revelation of the Word of God to you. And the Lord is bringing restoration into your life. Amen? There may have been natural reasons to be fearful or afraid of something, but the Lord's removing that thing, and He's bringing to you everything that you need and bringing to pass your heart's desire. That's what the Lord's saying right now. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let's lift up our hands and thank Him. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I just saw that in my spirit, so I just acted it out. Glory to God. We receive, Lord. We receive, Lord. We receive, Lord. Praise God. Praise His holy name. Praise His holy name. Masikita sia. Masikita sia. Masikita sia. Nominale giana manamasoko manasisia la karamanasasa. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh God, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Praise you, Holy Father. Thank you so much, Lord. You know, the Lord's speaking to a lot of people in this room right now. Just right where you're in your seat there, and the Lord is talking to you and saying things to you. And just open your heart up and say, okay, Lord, I'm receiving from you. You're downloading to me what I need right now. You don't have to be called out, and not unless God wants it. But the Lord's already talking to everybody in this room right now. Okay? He's already speaking to everyone in this room, man and woman alike. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Father God. Before I close today, if you need healing in your physical body, would you stand up? Only if you need physical healing, would you stand up right now? Okay. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dismiss right after this, okay? Just where you're standing there. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that you're still Jehovah Rapha, our healer. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Father, right now, stretch forth your hand to heal each and every one standing up right now, Father. I release the healing virtue, the same power that went into the woman with the issue of blood. Flow into these right now, Lord, like a mighty river, touching each and every one of them, Lord, setting them free. Sickness leaving, pain leaving, addiction leaving in the name of Jesus right now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I want to just say a little bit of instruction for, first of all, for the water baptism service.